During the 7th of Reverend Nitata's sabbatical leave, let us share the words of Philippians. The purpose of Apostle Paul's second mission journey was to revisit the cities that he and Barnabas had gone during the first mission journey and to encourage the Christians there. But such plan didn't materialize. During the first mission trip, when the mission team had arrived at Perga at Pamphylia, John, called Mark, the younger cousin of Barnabas, had left the team on his own and returned to Jerusalem. This had greatly shocked Paul. Therefore, as Paul and Barnabas planned the second mission team, Barnabas proposed that they take Mark, but Paul said that was not possible. They had to get into a heated argument over this, and ultimately Paul and Barnabas were not able to leave together. Barnabas, together with Mark, went on to Cyprus Island from Antioch in order to look around the cities that they had visited during the first mission trip, and Paul, together with Silas, went up to Cilicia, which was located to the north of Antioch. Due to the work of Paul's party, the faith of many churches were made stronger and the number of Christians increased more and more. But the Holy Spirit did not allow Paul to deliver the words in Asia Minor, which is currently the middle region of Turkey. Therefore, the Paul's party tried to go to Bithynia, which was a northern area of Turkey, but the Holy Spirit did not even allow that. Apostle Paul had not accepted the mission duty from Antioch Church for his own success and rising in the world. And he had not left Antioch to make his own fortune. He went to far and various places only in order to deliver the gospel of the Lord, and he did not hesitate to do so despite many persecutions and dangers that blocked his way. But the Holy Spirit did not allow that, and Paul was obedient to that order. And this gives us a very important lesson in our lives and faith. It is important to have passion for the Lord and to achieve many results in our works for Him. However, what is more important is to be obedient to the Lord's leading each moment of the way. A soccer coach trusts and uses a player not only because the player has excellent skills, and it is not the case that he is picked always as a starter because he makes a lot of goals. A player who is most needed by the coach is a player who plays according to the strategy which was put together during training. It is only then that the entire team can play as one team and win. Faith is the same. That is why God said, obedience is better than sacrifice, and listening is better than the fat of rams. When Paul's party at last went down to Mysia to Troas, Paul came to see a vision at night of a man begging them to come to Macedonia and help them. He became certain that the vision was the leading from God. And so Philip came to head to Philippi. The initial name of Philippi was Cranides, which meant small wells. In 365 BC, the father of King Alexander the Great, King Philip II, conquered the city and named the city according to his name as Philippi. Thereafter, in 168 BC, it became conquered by Rome and came under the rule of Rome. And in 42 BC, a civil war broke out within Rome, and the armies of Octavianus and Antonius defeated the united armies of Brutus and Cassius. And after the defeat, they settled many of the veteran soldiers who did well in the battle from that war in Philippi. And thereafter, a civil war continued between Octavianus and Antonius, and it was concluded in 31 BC by Octavianus defeating the united forces of Antonius and Cleopatra. Octavianus, who became the emperor, took the name Augustus and settled the soldiers of Antonius, who were dispersed, and his retired veterans in Philippi. And he made the Roman law apply to them in the same way as it applied to Roman citizens living in the Italian peninsula. This was the greatest benefit that could be conferred on the citizens living in a colony. Thereafter, as Roman citizens, they were spared from being whipped or arrested and had the right to make a direct appeal to the emperor. This gave great pride to Philippians, and they tried to live like Romans even more than the people who lived in Rome. When the party of Apostle Paul healed a girl who was suffering from an evil spirit and told fortunes, the masters of the girl took Paul's party to the officials and cried out as follows. These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. In other words, because they are honored Roman citizens, they cannot accept the beliefs of lowly Jews. Not long after the gospel had been delivered to Korea, watching missionaries sweat as they played tennis, Korean aristocrats clicking their tongues and said, "Why do they sweat like that, running around, when they could let the servants do such hard work?" In the same way that it was hard for the man of the values of the time to accept that, it was truly difficult for someone with the values of Rome at the time to accept that a criminal hung on a cross was a Son of God who took on the sins of people in their place. To people with such outlook, the Holy Spirit sent Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul arrived at Philippi after having been led twice to other paths. It is easy for us to think that if there was such a leading from the Holy Spirit, there were probably numerous people who wanted to hear the gospel. If not, then we could think that there were countless people who accepted the gospel the minute Paul opened his mouth to speak. But there was not a single person who was waiting for Paul there. Paul, each place he visited, went to a synagogue. In the synagogue, Gentiles who were interested in Judaism sat at the back, and Paul delivered the gospel to those people. But there was not a single synagogue in Philippi. When the Sabbath came, Paul went to the riverside to see if there was a place of prayer. At the time, a synagogue could be built if there were more than 10 grown men. If there were less than 10 of them, then they designated a place for prayer and gathered there. Paul went out to see if there was a place of prayer, let alone a synagogue. And when he got there, there was not a single man, only a few women. Among the people who were at the place of prayer, only Lydia from the city of Thyatira, who traded in purple colored cloth, listened to the words being preached by Paul. And after some time had passed, Paul healed the servant girl possessed by an evil spirit and was telling fortunes on his way to the place of prayer. But this girl, who was a means for her masters to make a significant amount of money, could no longer tell fortunes. Her masters, who became angry, dragged Paul's party to the officials and brought charges against them. At the time, the people of Philippi were very proud of the fact that they were Roman citizens and were enjoying a high standard of living. But in reality was that they were living in dependence of evil spirits. Paul and Silas were beaten and were imprisoned with their feet shackled. When they prayed and sang hymns there, an earthquake moved the foundation of the prison, the gates of prison flung open, and everything that had bound the prisoners broke free. The prison guard who woke up realized the seriousness of the situation and tried to commit suicide. At that time, Paul cried out, "We're all here. Do not harm yourself." The prison guard fell down before Paul and Silas and asked, "Teachers, how could I receive salvation?" To this question, Paul and Silas answered, "Believe in Jesus Christ. Then you and your household will receive salvation." That night, the prison guard and his family received baptism. Lydia from Thyatira, the merchant of purple cloth, a servant girl who had been possessed by an evil spirit and told fortunes, the prison guard of Philippi prison and his family, these were the first members of the church of Philippi. Paul is writing this letter in Roman prison. Between the time that the church of Philippi was established and the time of his writing this letter, there is about 10 to 15 years gap. The book of Philippians are words that are like a set of coordinates that allow us to live as Christians in all times and places without becoming undone by our circumstances. Historically, there never was a time when the world did not try to win over Christians. It is even more so today. The first chapter of today's text begins like this: Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. When we write letters, we usually mention the person receiving the letter, such as to so-and-so, but at the time, the custom was that the person sending the letter was mentioned first. And in doing so, Paul did not hesitate to mention himself and Timothy as the servants of Christ Jesus. These days, since the class system no longer exists, when we hear the word servant, it does not particularly strike us as being unusual or does not bring a sense of loathing, but it wasn't the case back then. The word doulos, which has been translated as servant, derives from the words to bind and to place on a rope. Therefore, rather than the word servant, the more appropriate translation would be a slave. There was this saying at the time, a slave is the same as a donkey. The only difference is that the slave knows how to talk and a donkey does not. Philippians took great pride in the fact that they were Roman citizens and were free people. But Paul considered himself as the slave of Christ. And 2,000 years later, those who bragged about their Roman citizenship and the fact that they were free people, those who showed off the medals on their military uniforms due to their accomplishments during wars, the people who taunted the fact that they had the commercial power of Philippi in their hands, those scholars who received attention as the leading scholars of Philippi at the time, we do not know any of them. The person whom we do know is Apostle Paul, who expressed himself as a slave. The reason for that is not because Paul is an eternal being, but Jesus Christ, whom he considered to be his master, is eternal. Those who held on to finite things disappeared when such things faded away. Only those who hold on to the eternal beings are eternal. Let's take a look at the first verse again. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Paul and Timothy say that they are sending this letter to all the God's holy people at Philippi. The overseers and deacons seem to be those who had the responsibility to serve the church. So they're also included in God's holy people. 성도, or believers, literally mean holy people. In the Bible, the word holy means to separate from. In particular, to separate in order to belong to God. There are altogether 645 hymns that we use during our worship. For most of the believers, there are hymns that are like songs especially designated for them. They were living a miserable life, but one Sunday, as they were singing a hymn, it came deeply into their hearts, and they came to put an end to wrongful life. Or they were experiencing a lot of spiritual oppression, but they came to hear the hymn they were singing as the voice of the Lord. Or there is nothing special going on, but a hymn that one happens to be singing strikes at the heart. Or one remembers a portion of the hymn he or she heard as a child all over one's life, and these hymns become favorites. I also have hymns that I cannot forget. Among them, there is one that is particularly dear to me. It is hymn 622, O Holy Night. The lyric of the first verse goes like this: O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the Spirit felt his worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, the night when Christ was born, O night, O holy night, O divine night. It's not like I have some special memory about this song, but when I sing it or hear it, I feel my heart ache and feel such a sense of deep gratitude. The last line of the lyric of the song, the last line of the lyric of this song in English is, O night divine. Divine is the word that is meant to refer to something of God's nature or something from God. So it looks like the night of Christmas Eve is just another night in the history. But because it is the night that God has sent His eternal Son as an offering on the cross to the earth to save men, that because God had distinguished at night as being special. It becomes a divine night. Since we all believe in Jesus Christ, whom God sent on a special night marked by God, we are the holy people, the separate people. Therefore, Philippians is not only the words that God gave to the Church of Philippi through Paul, but also to us. I will recite verse 1 again. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Paul says in his letter that the recipients of this letter is not all God's holy people who live at Philippi, but all God's holy people who live within Jesus Christ in Philippi. The reason that the people who live at Philippi could become God's holy people is that they were within Jesus Christ. When they were not Christians, they were outside of Jesus Christ. And they were within Adam, who lived according to their desires and will perish one day. We are the same. When we were not Christians, we were outside of Jesus Christ and were within Adam, so that we thought things our eyes could see were everything, and living according to the values of this world was wisdom. But as I meditated on today's text, I came to this understanding. Verse 1 read to me as follows: God's holy people at Philippi. Don't the people who live at Philippi take great pride in the fact that they were citizens of the Roman emperor and try to live more like Romans than the people who live at Rome? Don't they wear Roman clothes, eat what the Romans eat, and teach their children the spirit of Rome and teachings of Rome? But as far as you're concerned, do not forget that you do not reside in Rome, but that you are in Jesus Christ. I am sending this letter to you who will be living like God's holy people in Rome. From Paul and Timothy, the servants of Christ Jesus. Most of us live in Seoul and its greater metropolitan areas that are at the nation. At Seoul and its surrounding metropolitan areas, almost all things such as politics, economics, government administration, judicial system, diplomacy, education, and culture are centered here. People struggle using all means and methods in order to survive here. And to us, who are doing the same, God, through Apostle Paul, has sent a letter which says that we are within Jesus Christ and not within Seoul, its metropolitan areas, or the values of Korea. We have the duty to live as Christians within Jesus Christ at all places and at all times. In 2001, there was a book called Egg Lays Hen. This book was written by Professor Choi Jae-chan, who used to be with the Biology Science Department of Seoul National University, who is now the Chair Professor of Molecular Life Science Department of Ewha Women's University. There is the following episode in the book. Now, a professor received a PhD in biology from Harvard University, and this was when he was studying at Harvard. Professor Choi and his colleagues were not happy with the fact that Dr. Wilson only focused on giving lectures to students who were studying the humanities, while he did not give any lecture for doctorate students. So one day, a graduate student said that he would bring up the issue with Dr. Wilson and confront him about it. When he was confronted, Dr. Wilson responded as follows: "It is definitely meaningful to give a lecture on nature to the students of natural sciences. However, teaching science to humanities students is equally important. Why? Because there is a greater probability that people who will establish and execute the science and technology policies for our nation will come from them. Dr. Choi was shaken by these words and took them to his heart. He continued to write as follows. From this year, I have started a lecture at the university for all students. I am going to give all I have, remembering my words of my old mentor. I teach, believing that at least someone who listens to my lecture and becomes a CEO at Dye Factory will not let wastewater go to the stream because it happens to rain a lot. Even if an employee were to make such a suggestion, he would tell him about the behaviors of fish who mate in the stream nearby the factory and how they raise their young. If I do my best at teaching, there will come a day when the nature will also be automatically be protected. I also believe, although far from being considered the salt and light of this world, and fingers are pointing at Korean church, and it is being considered right for purification, and we hurt for the reason that due to the pathetic lives of Christians, the name of the Lord is being insulted. I believe that every member of our 100th anniversary memorial church will live witnessing that God is the truth with their own lives. I trust and believe that worship will become a part of our lives. Our lives will become worship, that we will deny ourselves before God in waiting courageously for the leadings of God, and that we will cultivate our lives in holiness. Businessmen in their businesses, workers and government officials in their jobs, homekeepers in their homes, students at their schools, and all of us, not in the world, in Seoul, in metropolitan areas, in Korea, but in Jesus Christ. If we live the lives as God's holy people in this way, God will one day purify and brighten Korean church, our nation, through us. Would you live on as God's holy people, no matter where you happen to be? Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you allowed us to share the words of Philippians 2,000 years ago. The people of Philippi were very proud of the fact that they were Roman citizens and they were free people. And because they were loyal to the Roman Empire, they were also proud of this fact. But we now know none of them. They faded away when the Roman Empire disappeared. But as for Paul, who did not hesitate to call himself a slave, we know him well. He too was a Roman citizen, and he could have enjoyed many things, but he did not hold on to such things, but became the slave of eternal Jesus Christ. Most of us too, after 100 years, 200 years, will become people whom our descendants will not even know lived in this land. But when we hold on to eternal God, Jesus Christ, who will take responsibility for us after our death for eternity, we will be remembered eternally by our Lord. Allow all of us not to hesitate to live as the servants of the Lord while we live as finite beings. Help us to etch in our hearts that only such way will make us into meaningful beings. And even if no one recognizes us, help us to live the life of holy people in Jesus Christ in each of our stations, no matter what we do. And thereby may the words of God proven to be the truth through our lives. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.